Sometimes the things we do in life have extremely serious consequences. Sometimes we so anger God by what we do that he corrects us severely. Now, we don't like that. Ever since we were little kids, we didn't like that. Okay? When our parents had to come down on us hard, we didn't appreciate it, did we? But sometimes, in order to live the kind of lives that we need to live and to basically color within the lines to see where it's safe, we needed severe correction, didn't we? You don't look like you're really sure. Well, today, we have heard read to us the story of Aaron's two most famous sons. Their names were Nadab and Abihu, and they were famous not for the value they added to the life of God's people. They were famous because of the wrong they did and the consequences that they suffered as a result of them, of it. Now, it was the ninth day, figuratively speaking. The great seven-day celebration of ordination was behind them. The party was over. And on the eighth day, they had returned to work, careful to follow the instructions which they had been given by the Lord, relating to their work as priest. As I explained to you last week when we talked about the eighth day, they were careful to follow every detail of the instructions that they had been given. They were careful. But now it was the ninth day, figuratively speaking. Figuratively speaking, because we don't really know what day it was, but it was the day after the eighth day. And the ninth day is always dangerous because on the ninth day, the routines have become established. The instructions are learned. Neither the routine nor the instructions are new anymore. And life has settled into its regular patterns on the ninth day. And there is always a problem on the ninth day, for that is the day when that which was once unique and shiny and new has lost its initial glow and become ordinary. See, on the ninth day, even the things of the Lord, even the instructions which God has made clear to us in his word, become routine and ritual. And on the ninth day, we have a tendency to experiment. We tend to take God-given instructions for granted on the ninth day. So on the morning of the ninth day, Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's sons, rightfully ordained priests of Israel, went to They went to the tabernacle, as they did every day, to offer the required sacrifices, as they did every day. But on this day, thoughtless of the prescribed rituals, they did a little experiment. They took their censers. Probably look something like this one. They lifted the lid. They filled it with hot coals. They dumped incense on top of the coals. The ritual, by the way, is being repeated in churches all around the world this morning, particularly Catholic churches, where the priest is doing that very thing. They symbolize the smoke, symbolizes the ascending of God's people, the prayers of God's people before them. They put the lid on their censer and they went into the tabernacle tent. And they stood before the great curtain which separates the holy place, the place where God was enthroned, from the rest of the tent. And they began to swing. Well, we'll have to repair that before the next service and clean up the mess. They began to swing their censer. There was a coal and incense in there. Not lit, thank God. The building won't burn down. But they began to swing their censer in front of the curtain, symbolizing the prayers of God's people going up before God. And the Bible says that Nadab and Abihu offered unauthorized fire before the Lord. It means that they did it without God telling them to. Nobody said they should do it. They were improvising, playing a little with the ritual. Who would care? After all, they were the only ones there. It was early in the morning. Who would even notice? And the Bible says that fire came out from the presence of the Lord, that is, from behind the curtain which divided the tent in two, and that fire consumed them. And they were burnt to a crisp. What they did that day so displeased God that he struck them dead. Now, and just a little on the side here, there are moments when I wish I could do that. A little fire, particularly on the pastor's finger, would certainly get the attention of the congregation, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. And you'd certainly be a little bit afraid to oppose me if I could just do fire. Okay? See, God was making a point that day. They were messing with the holy things. And you don't mess with the holy things without it having some consequence in your life. You might want to pray real hard that you don't offend him so badly that he goes, and you're gone. But you need to understand that you can't mess with the holy things. Because when you mess with them, there are consequences. And there is a tendency among us, when we read this passage, to think, boy, is God unfair? I mean, all they do is swinging their little senses there, offering prayer. But you want to know the truth? They got what people deserve when you mess with the holy things. It's what we deserve. And God is right in his judgment because he warns us over and over again not to mess with the holy things. Don't improvise with life. Follow the plan God gives you in the book. Resolve that your salvation is going to happen the way he tells you it's going to happen in the book. Because if you improvise and mess with the holy things, like Nadab and Abihu, you will die. Now listen to me. If the Lord does not come, every one of us in this room will die a physical death. We will. And you all know it as well as I do. It is before us. It is what we deserve because by nature we mess with the holy things. But God says in his holy word, if you will just come to me through the great sacrifice, through Jesus Christ, if you will plead the blood of Jesus, if you will say, I am trusting Jesus despite my weakness, I have placed my trust in Jesus, if you'll do that, even though you die a physical death, you will not die a spiritual and eternal death. You can't do it any other way. Because if you mess with the holy things, fire will come out from the presence of the Lord, and it will consume you. But still, whenever I read this passage of Scripture, there are questions in my mind. It's really only one question, but the one question has two parts. The first question that pops up in my mind is, why? Why did God kill them? What was so wrong with what they did that it caused God to react to it in such a strong way? I want to know. You want to know why I want to know? Because I don't want to be there. Okay? I want to know what it was that so upset God, because I never want to be in the place where Nadab and Abihu were. So what was it about this act that so offended God? You ready? First, they were the wrong people to do what they did. In Exodus chapter 30, verses 7 to 10, God makes it abundantly clear that the only person who was invited into that place for that purpose was Israel's high priest, their father, Aaron. So in doing what they were doing, they were usurping the role of God's servant, the high priest. They were disrespecting the office of God's servant, the high priest. And they were disregarding the specific instructions of the Lord. Now, here's a lesson I learned from this. I'll summarize this in a bit. Okay? I'm not supposed to get out of my place. God has given me a place. And when I begin to challenge other people's place, I am disrespecting the assignment which God has given to them. And he is, after all, the commanding general and the commander-in-chief of the army. Okay? I'm not supposed to step out of my place. And when I do, I am disrespecting persons that God has appointed and offices that God has set, limits that he has placed, and then I am disregarding the specific instructions of the Lord. They were the wrong people to do what they did. And then number two, they used the wrong instruments to do what they do. Exodus chapter 40, verse 9 tells us that only the high priest censer was to be used in the way they used their censers. So in doing what they did, they were again usurping the high priest role, and they were disrespecting the high priest office, and they were disregarding the specific instructions of the Lord. He said, this censer and no others. And then number three, they did what they did at the wrong time. Leviticus chapter 16 tells us that the act which they did was to be done on one specific day each year and only on that day. They were to do what they did only on the Day of Atonement and at no other time during the year. So in doing what they did, they disregarded the specific instructions of the Lord. See, it drives me crazy because God is telling us, okay, do it this way. And here they are, the first priest of Israel. They settle into the ninth day routine and they begin to take liberties with the word of God. He says, only Aaron. He says only with his censer. He says only on this day. And they're saying, well, if it's good on one day, why can't we do it two or three times a year? And what's so special about that censer? Why can't we use ours? And who's Aaron think he is? High priest? They are disregarding the specific instructions of the Lord. And then they acted under the wrong and without authority. Folks, they disregarded the specific instructions of the Lord. They changed the specific instructions of the Lord simply because it seemed good to them. I mean, why not? Are you hearing me? In doing what they did, they disregarded the specific instructions of the Lord. And then last, they acted from a wrong motive. They disregarded the specific instructions of the Lord. They acted willfully without regard to the word of the Lord. They did what they did from no other concern that it seemed right, good to them. Their motives were wrong because they disrespected the specific instructions of the Lord. Have I said it seven times yet? Have I? Have you got it in your head? They disregarded the specific instructions of the Lord. Listen to me. God says, here's how you get saved. You disregard the specific instructions of the Lord and you will die. God says, here's how you live life. You disregard the specific instructions of the Lord and you will have death in your life. Joy and peace and happiness will die. See, it's not a light matter to disregard the instructions of the Lord. And it's not a simple error on their part. This was a deliberate step taken by them in defiance of the word of God, simply because it was the ninth day and God's word was boring. Well, almost. And you know what question number two is for me? Why? Why would these men, who had been trained by Moses and their father Aaron to listen to God's word in strict detail, do such a thing as this? Sure, it was the ninth day, and things had settled into routine, and life was boring. But they had been trained to be careful about following the instruction of the Lord. What made them become so careless on this, the ninth day? Well, if you've got your Bibles, look at verses 8 to 11, because the scripture tells us real clearly what happened. Nadab and Abihu were drunk when they came to work that day. They came to work, to do the work of the Lord drunk. And their drink clouded their ability to distinguish between what was right to do and what was wrong to do, and weakened by their drinking, they resolved not to follow the specific commands of God. They took God for granted because they were drunk. Are you ready for this? There are lots of ways to get drunk. You can get drunk by drinking too much. And the Bible warns us over and over again not to get drunk. It never, by the way, tells us that we can't enjoy drink. It just simply tells us that we are not allowed to get drunk, because when we get drunk, it weakens our resolve to follow the specific instructions of the Lord. And in our day, you don't have to drink to get drunk. You can shoot it in your arm. You can snort it up your nose. It's available everywhere. But we should not do it as the people of God, because when we allow those substances to weaken our resolve, we will not be careful about the instructions of the Lord. But it's not only drink and substances that can make you drunk. You can get drunk on sexual desire. Turn your television on, and you will see a world that's become totally insensitive to what's moral and proper and lives on the edge of sexual deviation and unacceptableness all the time and thinks it's normal. And I just want you to understand, if you let yourself go that way and you get involved in that stuff, you will be drunk by it. It will make you drunk, and it will weaken your resolve to follow the specific instructions of the Lord. You want another thing you can get drunk on? Here it is. You can get drunk on chasing this. You can convince yourself that what's important is for you to have a swimming pool and palm trees. You can go out looking for 6 or 7 boats. You can need bigger and bigger cars and more TVs. And you can get drunk chasing those things. So drunk that you will disregard the specific instructions about God when it comes to money and how we get it. And do things that you know you should not do. Specifically ignoring the instruction of the Lord. You get drunk on power. I see it all over the place in the church. Okay? People who want to get their little niche. Okay, and make everybody else think them holy because they have power in the church. You can get drunk on power. And when you do, your desire to keep that little niche you have carved out for yourself will cause you to do things that you know are contrary to the specific instruction of the Lord. When we disrespect the word of the Lord, when we take the holy things of God for granted, when we become drunk on anything and resolve to live life our way instead of God's way, be careful.